This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report podcast. If you listen to my podcast over time, you know that we cover things about the Holy Spirit. That's what I've been covering my entire career as a journalist, over four decades through Charisma Magazine, a lot of things. I've been recently reading about podcasts. They have to be focused. Well, my focus is on what is happening in the Christian community, especially what we call the Spirit-filled community. Sometimes it's called charismatic, sometimes Pentecostal. And today I'm going to talk to a young man who's having enormous success reaching people, and he is full of the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk about reaching millennials. I think that's something that will interest you. So you're going to want to stay tuned for my conversation with J.J. Vasquez of Fern Park, Florida, and Journey Church. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Welcome back, and welcome to you, JJ. I appreciate you fitting in to come to my podcast, and I've been wanting to find out about reaching the younger generation. You know, every generation kind of bemoans how bad the younger generation is, but I know my grandparents did. And, you know, I came up during the anti-Vietnam War era, Summer of Love, Haight-Ashbury, Woodstock. Some of my listeners probably aren't even old enough to remember all that stuff. We had a generation going to hell in a handbasket, as they used to say. And then the Jesus movement happened, and things shifted. But today it seems like our whole culture is becoming more and more ungodly. And boy, when you read the statistics, especially from people like George Barna, it sounds like there aren't even anybody saved under age 40. So tell me what's going on, because you're of that age group.
Yeah, well, first off, it's an honor to be on the podcast. Thank you so much. I think when we first met, I told you it's great to meet you, someone who I consider to be a hero here in Central Florida. Your legacy through the Assemblies of God and the Publishing House has been amazing. So it's had an amazing influence on my life. And so thank you for having me. It's an honor to share with you. Yeah, I know God's been doing some really cool things at Journey Church. We launched in 2016 in Winter Park, Florida. You're very familiar with that city. That was their Charisma.
I sure am.
That was where Charisma got started, in Winter Park. And God's been doing really cool things. On launch day, we had 400 people in attendance. Since then, we've been in Outreach Magazine.
400 people?
Yeah.
I mean, their churches have been around 50 years and don't have half that many.
God's been gracious. God's been really, really gracious. In Outreach Magazine, we were identified as one of the top 10 fastest growing churches in the U.S. Last year, after 4 years of ministry, we recorded our 1,000th salvation in 4 years.
Wow, praise God.
And those are names. Those aren't just raised hands that our ushers were counting in the back. Those were contact cards filled out, names, emails, addresses. And then crazy, so this year we're only into, at the time of this recording, it's October. And already this year we've seen 600 people make decisions for Jesus.
Praise God.
Just this year, which is, you know.
And most of those are young people, aren't they?
Many of them are young people. Many of them are young people. And I think that is what is making it so exciting for me. I think that there is a reputation that millennials have, and even Gen Zers, about being disinterested in religion. But I think if anything good has come out from the pandemic, or at least exposed anything from the pandemic, is that when everything gets stripped away, when you no longer have sports, and you no longer have school, and you no longer have health, and you no longer have perceived stability, and life gets stripped down to its bare bones, you're forced to look up. You're forced to realize that there has to be something bigger in this world. And so people have been interested about God. I know I hear all the stories, I see all the reports, but it's not what I see in our church. In fact, one of the real big catalysts for growth in our church was the Orlando Sentinel had come a couple years ago to do an article on the next generation and faith. And they didn't know what the article was going to be about, but they wanted to come see because they had heard things about our church.
Well, I'm not sure I agree. They usually have an idea of what they want.
Oh, well, sure. I believe that.
I used to work for the Orlando Sentinel.
So they came, and long story short, they just saw a church full of young people. and printed out a story about how we were bridging. In fact, it was at the same time, I have the paper in my office, it's the same time when Trump and the whole shutdown of like the budget and the stuff. And I remember the front, it had Trump and it had the Congress. And then right next to his front headline was a picture of me on the pulpit preaching in our church and the bridge to the next generation. So it made the front page, and it was about the next generation. And so, and when they interviewed me, I kept telling them the same thing. I know what you're hearing in the statistics, but I don't see it. I don't see it in our church. I see God doing something special. And I think a big part of that is that's who I was. So I'm 35 as I sit here, and I think you reach people who you are. I think that doesn't mean that we can't be multi-generational, and that doesn't mean that we can't be ethnically diverse. I just think that you know the language of the world you grew up in. And so, which is one of the things when we go to lunch that I'm going to ask you, how do you continue to be relevant over such a span of time? Because you absolutely have. But I think in the beginning, when you started ministry, you're going to reach who you were and how you grew up. So I think that's a part of the success of our church and why we reach the people we reach, because it's who I am and it's who my friends are.
Well, that's good insight. You know, this is not about me, but I will say that I started Charisma when I was 24 in very different times, but they were also difficult times. And we as a American people are so myopic. We tend to know our experience and those around us and what we see in the media, which of course, the media, I believe, gives a very, very distorted view. I just did an interview this morning, a radio interview on my new book, and we were talking about the cancel culture. Notice how I kind of slipped that in there. And
already taking notes.
Yeah.
Got it.
And we're, you know, the left, as I like to call them, have the attitude, you know, we won, you lost, go away, sit down. And if you don't sit down, if you speak up, we're going to cancel you because we have no interest in what you have to say. I mean, that's kind of the narrative. To some extent, it's always been like that. There's always been blasphemers. There's always been people who didn't accept Christ. There's always been hypocrisy. There's always been sin. The younger generation has always pushed the edges, the boundaries of whatever their culture is. I mean, this is just part of the human experience. Every generation, every era has always needed Jesus. But, you know, there are a lot of people who haven't. I mean, it's like, you know, the newspaper just assumes nobody goes to church, mm-hmm. and then they're shocked when they see young people coming to church and getting turned on for Jesus. It gives me hope. It gives me a lot of hope. And, you know, the Bible says all things work together for good. And I think even, you know, you were alluding to it with COVID and the shutdowns. The good part is that a lot of people then are open to God in a way. Sometimes things have to get really bad before people are willing to change. And you can't just go on being cultural.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Roman Catholic Church would have known this. Protestantism, a lot of people would have been Christian culturally because they grew up that way. And they maybe would acknowledge that, yes, there was a man named Jesus who died on the cross, and you know, this is what I was taught, and yes, it's kind of what I believe, but that's where it stops.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like separating the wheat from the chaff. Doesn't the Bible use that word picture? People who really are focused on Jesus, and here in the South, you know, they call it the Bible Belt, but there's so much hypocrisy in the South. I mean, that's how we could have good deacons be segregationists back in the day,
mm-hmm.
and not really be too concerned about it. In the South, people are friendly, but they're also hypocritical. They'll stab you right in the back. You know, they say you're a friend, but they don't mean it. There's always been this going on, but you can't get away with being a cultural Christian anymore. Either you're in or you're out.
Yeah.
And I think that that's actually a good thing. So, you know, there are going to be people listening to this podcast, and hopefully people will share this with others who are maybe a little discouraged about how things are going on. I mean, if you listen to the media, you can get discouraged really quick.
Yeah.
So what could you say to others, whether they're in ministry like you are in the sense of pastoring? Really, we're all in ministry, aren't
we? That's right.
Don't some churches put sign up? You're now,
entering the missions field.
Yeah. Entering the mission field. So we're all ministers, of course. But there are some who focus on it more than others. So what would you say to people to maybe give them hope or, maybe you could just opine about your view of the things we've been talking about.
Yeah, I would say that they should have hope. And I think that one of the other things that's come out of this kind of era that we've gone through as a world, as a pastor, I have been to more funerals in the last 12 months than I have in the last 30 years of my life. Just a lot of people passing away. And I say that to say that in America, we don't do a good job of speaking about death. We're not really faced with our mortality. When we see it on TV, we see it in, as a child, we see it in cartoons, but it's done in a humorous way. And in movies, we see it, but we always know it's Hollywood and it's fake and that actor's going to get right back up and that's fake blood. But when you see it in real life and you see it over and over and over again, you are faced with mortality. So I would say to those who feel like we're living in a dark age, that wherever there's darkness, light always rises up to meet the darkness, and that this idea or what is happening is actually opening people up more to God, I believe, than ever before. I think it's going to look different, not in the aspect of truth. I think truth remains unchanging, but I think it's going to look different in the aspect of presentation. I think it's going to look different in the way we dress truth, but it's going to be truth nonetheless. But no, I've had more people. Like I said, you know, this has been one of the hardest years to be a pastor. It's, I don't know what your listeners do for a profession, but without feeling bad for myself, I don't want you to feel bad for myself, but being a pastor in 2020 and 2021 was just no win. You just didn't win. No matter what side you took, no matter what you said, somebody wasn't pleased. Somebody left the church. And as much as I could complain about that, at the very same time, we've never seen God do more things in the last year and a half than we have. We probably don't have the time to go into our new building and how God opened those doors. But just going off the information I shared with Decisions for Christ, we've never seen more people come to Jesus. We've never seen the church grow this fast. Right now, whether we're measuring church growth, right now the average church growth measuring is percentage of before COVID. That's how people are measuring it. I was 70% before COVID. Now we're at 70, but now we're at 80%. You know, God's, what we've done in our church, and not to give us glory, but to give glory to God, has been amazing. But I know it has to do a lot with what's going on in the world. I just see people who are hungry, people who are ready to make a difference, ready to make a change. So yeah, I think we have a lot to look forward to. I just think we have to not succumb to culture, but I do think we have to learn the language of culture. And I think Paul was really good with that. Paul never stopped abiding to truth, and he spoke truth even when truth wasn't popular. But because of the unique way that he grew up, he was able to be Roman to the Romans. He was able to be Jew to the Jews, Pharisee to the Pharisees. And he knew enough of the Gentile world that he could write a book like Colossians, which is full of Phoenicians and Scythians and all of these people from different nations. He just was able to speak the language. And so if we look at our culture as a nation, then we would understand that our culture speaks a certain language. And if you can just use their language, I think that Jesus wins.
You give us some examples with millennials.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing that part of it is humor. I know that when you preach, you're always funny. In fact, if it doesn't work out in the ministry, you could be a stand-up comic.
That's very, my wife would disagree. But I do thank you for that. No, I think that goes back to just being yourself, I think, too. I got to believe a part of your success is just you being you. You just, regardless of what anyone else said. So, you know, I guess I grew up with a sense of humor and I decided that I would be me. I didn't know you could be funny from the pulpit, though. I needed a pastor to teach me that. I thought it was a place that you had to be reverent and solemn. One of the best advice I got ever in ministry was be yourself, because the people that God needs you to reach, he prepared you for that in your upbringing. So take in everything that you learned growing up. Take in the accents and take in the culture and take in the way your mom and dad spoke to you and your third grade math teacher and present that on the pulpit. So that's been a part of my journey. But no, we have a mission statement at Journey Church that says that we exist to make Jesus accessible to anyone. And the word accessible is really what we pinge our ministry strategy on. We believe that Jesus is beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And if you took the time to meet him, he would steal your heart. You would fall in love with him, and he would fill you with passion and hope and life change. But so many people don't get to go on a date with him, don't get to meet him, to use the language of millennials, because they don't swipe right. So I'm sure you're familiar with the dating apps today. And, you know, if you look at the profile, and if the profile is attractive, then you swipe on. And that swipe is a, hey, I want to get to know more. So we feel like our job at Journey Church is to just not show you the fake Jesus, but the real one, not the one that the media presents, not the one that you learned about at your liberal college or university, but the actual real Jesus. If you just get to see him, you will fall in love with him. So we use humor. We use illustrations. We use the language of today and what people are experiencing. And so when you came to church, for example, that Sunday, I preached a message called Just a Jawbone. And I was looking and searching for some form of metaphor that would communicate what life is like when you put your trust in the wrong things. And so just looking at what's going on in the world, we used the Facebook outage as a reference. And, you know, everyone in the building, not only did they laugh, but they understood, yeah, I really was stressed out when Facebook went down. What does that tell you about you? Maybe you have a little too much trust, a little too much confidence in your app.
Maybe a little addiction.
Maybe a little addiction. Yeah, definitely. If you're starting to develop tics, which that's an actual thing I read recently, teenage girls developing tics because of TikTok. Funny enough in the name, but not funny in the situation. But yeah, so I think that's what we try to do. We try to just be able to use the language of culture and present Jesus. And then Jesus really does the rest of the transformation.
Boy, that is beautiful. I want my listeners to be able to connect with you. We'll be doing a story about this. I'll send it out as my newsletter. And of course, we'll put it in writing. But I want you to just tell people how they can find out more about JJ and Journey Church. Does the J stand for Journey?
No, actually. Yeah. Great story about the name of the church if you have time. But
tell us.
Sure. So the name Journey, about 5 years ago, my wife and I were expecting our third child, and we thought it was going to be a girl. I had bought out, this is back when Pandora bracelets were popular, I bought a little girl pendant to put on my wife's Pandora bracelet to celebrate. We went in for a sonogram, and the very next week we were headed off to our church planning training with the Assemblies of God and Church Multiplication Network. And when we went in for the sonogram, we got pulled into the doctor's office right after the sonogram, and that's never good. And when we got pulled in, the doctor had told us that my wife's amniotic sac had been draining and that the child was not fully developing his kidneys or lungs and that he would pass away. So that week, we had church planning the next week. And I remember looking at my wife saying, hey, do you want to go? Do you want to stay? What do you want to do? If we want to cancel out this church planning idea, hadn't launched the church yet. I said, I'm okay with it. I'm down. And she looked at me, and I don't know, this language is probably not appropriate for your listeners, so we'll just bleep it out if we need to. But she looked at me, and she said, no. She said, I want to go. I want to launch this church. She said, I want to punch the devil in the beep face. And I want to tell you, in that moment, profanity felt holy in that moment right there. She was just so committed to the call that God on her life. So long story short, we begin to go in for these doctor's visits, every doctor visit. Now, if you've ever been pregnant, you know the doctor visits usually happen once every other month or something like that. I think more frequent as you get closer. Well, because of the situation, the high-risk pregnancy that we were in, we were going every week. And every week, we were prepared to not hear a heartbeat. It was devastating, depressing. Every week, there's still a heartbeat, there's still a heartbeat, there's still a heartbeat, there's still a heartbeat. And one day, the doctor pulled us in and said, listen, I know this baby's surviving, but he's not going to make it. You should really consider abortion. And obviously that goes against everything we believe. And so my wife and I said, no, absolutely not. If the Lord wants to take this child, he can take this child. The nurse was a believer. And so the nurse, when the doctor leaves, says, good for you. We'll be praying for you. I'm with you. She goes, you guys are going to be on such a journey with this baby.
Wow.
And we said, amen. That's going to be his name. And so the baby's name was actually Journey. And the baby made it all the way up to birth. We got to spend 7 hours with him. Unfortunately, he was born without lungs, and so he was on a ventilator for 7 hours. After he passed away, which he got to meet his grandparents, he got to meet his mom, he got to meet his dad, held him in my arms as he suffocated, passed away, but I would not trade those 7 hours for anything. We shared the story on our Facebook page about what God had done in his life and how those 7 hours meant everything to us, and it went viral. And we started to get a ton of stories. And one of the stories was from a woman who was on her fourth child from her third relationship. And she said, I want you to know, I was really considering ending and terminating this pregnancy. I'm not in a relationship. The father of this baby is not around. He's not in the picture. But I read your story and I heard how Journey fought off of a ventilator, fought to breathe for hours. And I want you to know I'm keeping my baby. Your baby passed away, but my baby's alive because yours isn't anymore.
Wow.
And now that mom sends us pictures of her daughter. The daughter's name is Emily Alicia, sends us pictures every birthday to remind us of our sacrifice. And in that moment, we thought, you know what? I don't want to own this name. What if we named the church Journey, not in memoriam of our son, but the idea that God could take a bad thing, a painful thing, a hurtful thing, and make beauty out of it and do something awesome with it. What became such a painful moment in our life birthed not only this child, Emily, but it also birthed this ministry and this church. And so now when I get to share that story with members of our church, it's the idea that I don't know how painful it is for you right now, but the building you're sitting in is a testament that God can resurrect things and he can turn things around. So that's how the church became Journey Church.
Wow, and it's such a great name. Before I heard this very, very touching story, I thought, you know, this is a great name. It's kind of modern, and it hints to the Christian journey. I mean, that's terminology because it is a journey. It's not a one-time event. We're moving from here. In fact, there's an old hymn, isn't there? This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. And, you know, it seems kind of old-fashioned and cliche, but life is but a vapor. The Bible says that. Mm-hmm. And I heard a pastor say that at a funeral of an 18-year-old. And, of course, everybody was very sad that, you know, his life had ended so young. But the pastor said, if you live to be 80, which we would think is pretty old, it's still a vapor. It is a vapor compared to human history, and it's certainly a vapor compared to eternity. And we don't think about that very much. You know, you talked earlier about death and all that kind of stuff. And if you study history at all, you know that the 1800s, kind of the Victorian era, they're really into death. Do you remember Edgar Allan Poe from literature class in high school? You know, there are all these dark, quoth the raven, nevermore, and all this kind of stuff. They were really into it. Everyone talked about death. In the Victorian era, nobody talked about sex. Now, we know that sex was a fact of life. Today, it's opposite. Everybody talks about sex, and nobody will talk about death. I heard someone make that example one time, and I'll never forget it. It's just interesting how these things flip on their heads in our culture. And regardless, the Word of God is true. We've got to follow the Word of God. We've got to be relevant. I just think it's so great that the Lord has given you this incredible gift of being relevant to your generation. And we are seeing little tiny bits of revival. That's really what has to change things. It's not going to be politics. It's not religion. It's going to have to be people changing their hearts. And, you know, that's kind of our task as Christians. So, thank you for being on my podcast. Thank you to my listeners for tuning in. As I mentioned earlier, be sure to share this with others. This is an incredible story at many, many different levels. We covered so many things in this podcast. But as we wrap up, I want to give you the last word.
Wow. Well, thank you. Was it prepared for the opportunity? No, I would just encourage believers to make the most of the moment. There's an old African proverb that says, ask for rain while rain is falling. And I believe that. I believe God is doing something special, significant, spiritual for our church. We're going to be walking into 2022 with the vision of going into God's presence, walking into the cloud, up the mountain, into the glory. I think that we are in the last times and that God made a promise that in those moments he would pour out his spirit. And so if any of our listeners are downcast or fearful or worrisome, I can't speak about the natural world. We don't have much control over that. But in the spiritual world and in the heavenly realms, God is doing something really special. Get in on it. Come back home. If you're far from God, this is the time. This is the season. And yeah.
So well said, and a good place to leave it. Thank you, J.J. Vasquez of Journey Church. It's actually in Fern Park, but that's Greater Orlando. People would tend to know Orlando. Thank you for being with me on the Strang Report today. And I'll invite my listeners, as I do every time, to tune in again tomorrow for another episode of the Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.